So this morning I had the 8 o'clock Mass, and just like I did right now on my way over to the lectern, I forgot the book of the Gospels. But that was actually because I was a little more distracted at that time. I also forgot my microphone, because 20 minutes before Mass, I received a text message. There's a newly ordained priest in our diocese, actually there are three of them, ordained 2 months ago. And one of them is on his way back to Rome this week for further studies. So he contacts me earlier this week and says, "Hey, I would love to come celebrate Mass at your parish." I thought, gosh, that'd be great. The parishioners would love it. A newly ordained priest, he's on fire, full of zeal. Yeah, absolutely. Please, come. You can preach. I'll can celebrate with you. Great, wonderful. On Sunday mornings, I'm preparing for Masses by spending time in prayer. Thankfully, I checked my phone. He sent me a text message at 6:40 that I didn't get until 7:38 that said, "Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry, I can't make it." And I go, "Oh!" My first, I panic. Right, second, I thought, you know what, I'm going to give him a call and give him a piece of my mind. And then I thought, I got 10 minutes, I got to do what I can. So in those 10 minutes, I did not have time to read all these readings and prepare a homily. Thankfully, it struck me. What is October 2nd? What do we celebrate every year on October 2nd in the church? The guardian angels. And how seldom we hear of them. And so, with our Lord's permission, hopefully I will speak to you of his angels. One of my best friends, when I was at the University of Notre Dame, a young man named Tim. He was on campus. You'd walk around with him, and he was one of those guys, wherever you were, people would be, "Hey, Tim, hey, good to see you," across the quads, in the dining hall. One of the most popular guys on campus, a varsity letterman, one of the highest in his class in the business department. When he graduated, he decided, "Before I go on for further studies, before I enter into the job world, I want to do what's most important." And he decided that he would go and take a summer and live in a monastic community, actually an order of hermits in southern Texas, to work on his interior life, his life of prayer. So he goes down there at the end of the summer. What does he do? Calls his family, says, "Mom, Dad, I think I'm called to be a hermit. I'm staying here." His parents were devastated. His dad said, "You are wasting your life. Well, at least go be a parish priest. You'd be on the front lines giving the sacraments." And he would be a fantastic parish priest. Actually, one of the most personal people I've ever met. I oftentimes think, gosh, he should take my place and I should take his. He one time said to me, "I hope that one day my dad realizes that I am on the front lines. That the most profound battles in this world are spiritual. That objectively speaking, there is nothing better a person could ever do than to devote themselves to a life of prayer and sacrifice for the salvation of souls." We don't often think about it, but even the church teaches spiritual works of mercy are greater than corporal works of mercy. Yes, absolutely, it's so important that we feed the hungry, that we shelter the homeless, that we visit those in prison. But first and foremost, we got to pray for them. That always has a primacy. So Tim, he becomes a hermit, and he calls me. I was in my first year of the seminary. "You got to come down here. You'll love it. It's amazing." So at Thanksgiving, my first break, I was able to fly down. I couldn't get a flight that would get in until 11:30 p.m. He had to pick me up in San Antonio, and then we had a two-hour drive to his community in southern Texas on 100 acres of land. We got in at 1:30 a.m. We spoke for about an hour and a half. And then finally, I said, "Tim, what time do we have to get up in the morning?" He said, "Oh, Mass is at 6 a.m. I said, "Well, oh my gosh, you better turn that alarm on loud." He said, "Oh, I don't have an alarm." I said, "Tim, how are we going to get up in the morning?" He said, "Well," and he totally calmly, "Well, I'll just ask my guardian angel to wake us up." I thought, "Oh, Tim, you've been in the desert too long." At 5:30 a.m., he was shaking my shoulder. "Time to get up for Mass." Oh, okay, maybe there's something to this, right? Might have been luck. A few months go by, I return to the seminary, and one day, I would seldom ever call him, because on this property they lived on, there was a tiny little central chapel with a kitchen that they would only gather in for morning mass or meals on Sunday. And then they were out in their hermitages spread out 100 yards apart from each other. So the chances of ever calling and reaching anybody were slim to none. And even when you left a message, you normally didn't get a call back for at least 3 or 4 days. One day in the seminary, all of a sudden I think, I've got to call Tim. I go, gosh, you know, the chance of him answering, there's no way. So I try to brush aside. It comes on more intensely. It was so strong that I went immediately. I picked up the phone and I called Texas. One ring and he answers the phone. I said, Tim, what are you doing? Why are you at the phone? He said, I'm so glad you called. I had to speak with you. I sent my guardian angel to you about 10 minutes ago to ask him to tell you to call me. My brothers and sisters, how many of you believe in angels? Now, don't raise your hands. I don't want to embarrass anybody. Now, hopefully everybody said, yeah, absolutely I believe in angels. But I think sometimes we believe in them like we believe in fairies or unicorns or even if we do believe in them, we think they have no part in our lives whatsoever, like they're these distant creatures somewhere out there. The teaching of the church is that every human being who has ever lived and will ever live has a guardian angel. That God has such love for every single individual soul that He entrusts to them an angelic being to help to assist them on the path to heaven. Do you have a relationship with your guardian angel? Do you ever speak to your guardian angel? We ought to call upon them all the time. Our Blessed Mother Mary had a guardian angel. Adam and Eve had guardian angels. The only person in the history of the world that did not have a guardian angel, our Lord Jesus Christ. Because He didn't need an angel to help to get Him to salvation, because He is salvation. But He had angels that still ministered to Him. You remember when He's tempted in the desert? What does the scripture say immediately afterwards? Angels came to console Him, to serve Him. For in the agony in the garden, to the apostles He says, do you think that I can't ask my Father right now to send me His angels, and He would not send me 12 legions of angels? A legion is 2,000 soldiers. Do you think I can't ask my Father and He would not send me 24,000 angels? Last week, I shared with you about Padre Pio. Padre Pio, a great saint of modern times. He had a spiritual daughter. People hear that, he had a daughter? A woman who went to him for spiritual direction. Who would send her guardian angel to him every night to ask for his blessing. She did that for a couple of weeks, fell out of the practice. The next time she saw him a month later, he says, why have you stopped asking me for my blessing every night? I wanted to share one final story from Padre Pio's life. A gentleman came to him, this time a spiritual son of his. Padre Pio, I'm going on a journey, and I came, I want you to get your blessing for protection first. Padre Pio gave him his blessing, and then said, whatever you do, do not travel by plane. Okay, I won't. So instead of flying, takes a long, long car ride, it would have been much easier to fly, goes on this journey. When he gets there, things are great. Well, friends of his say, you know what, we pitched in, we got you a ticket back so you can fly, you don't have to make that long trip. He thinks, well, you know, maybe Padre Pio was only speaking about the travel there and not the return trip. You know, so no big deal, yeah, I'll fly back. Flying back, they run into all sorts of turbulence, a lightning storm hits one of the engines, it goes out and the plane starts to descend rapidly. The man immediately says to his guardian angel, go tell Padre Pio to pray for me. The pilot was able to bring it to a crash landing. Not one life was lost. The next time that man saw Padre Pio, he said, Padre Pio, please forgive me for my disobedience. Padre Pio said, I do forgive you. But thank goodness you sent me your guardian angel, or you would not be here today. Let me close with Padre Pio's own words. Have great devotion to your guardian angel. How consoling it is to know that near us is a spirit who, from cradle to the tomb, does not leave us for an instant, not even when we dare to sin. It is extremely consoling to know that this angel prays for us without ceasing. Open yourself to him and confide to him everything. Have a constant fear of offending the purity of his gaze. He is your greatest friend and will forever defend you. We ask in this Mass that we might grow in our relationship with our own guardian angels.